This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Lucy Daniels spent 5 years hospitalized for severe anorexia, and during this time she wrote the book Caleb, My Son. When she got out of that hospital, it was a national bestseller. She appeared on the Today Show and won a Guggenheim. And she stopped writing for much of her adult life, and after a 40-year gap, Lucy Daniels published her memoir. Today, she's on the show to talk about her newest book, Walking with Moonshine, My Life and Stories. It's a collection of stories that she's written, fiction and nonfiction, from her teenage years up to the present. Lucy Daniels is a writer and a clinical psychiatrist, and it's so good to have you back on the show, Lucy. Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank.
Tell us about this book now. This is a collection of your writing throughout your life, right?
Yes, this book, this starts with a story that I first published at age 15 in 17 magazine. And then the last story in the book, Walking with Moonshine, I wrote this year when I'm 79. But the way I wrote this book is actually I'm writing another book. And what happened is I've been writing it for several years. I've got about seven stories in it, but I won't finish it. And so when I just don't see why I don't finish it. So when I'm having a lapse from that book, I decided I'll put these stories together across my life. And then when I looked at this book, I understood why I haven't finished the other one. It's because unconsciously I felt that if I don't finish it, I won't die. So this book is freeing me to do the other one.
Well, that raises a question then about that 40-year gap when you were very much alive and not writing.
Yes, and really that 40-year gap had to do, I discovered in psychoanalysis, which I had never had psychoanalytic treatment for my anorexia, and it was a wonderful thing that I received it. But what I discovered in that is that the writing block was caused by the same thing that had caused my anorexia, something that I had learned at age 4 from my sister, who came and told me that she wasn't my sister, but because her mother had died in childbirth. And I said, well, how did the baby, from a baby coming out, breaking her open, coming out? And I said to my sister, how did that baby get in there? She said, father put it there with his penis. Well, my mother was pregnant at the time. So I knew my father was killing women by peeing inside them. So I had to go confront him. And when I did, and I said to him, did you love Babs? Because I learned that was the name of my sister's mother. I expected him to yell at me. Instead, he began to cry and said I loved her very much. Well, 50 years later in analysis, I discovered that I had unconsciously believed my voice had destroyed our family because my father had never spoken with such emotion for my mother.
So you took that responsibility on from the age of 4, when, of course, you couldn't raise it to any kind of articulate level.
No, we never spoke of it. No one ever spoke of my sister's mother. I told my younger sisters about it when they were in their 20s.
Yeah. And this is not relevant to your personal experience, but your father was the publisher of the News and Observer that he had inherited from the great Josephus Daniels, who was the founder of that paper. So your upbringing was not, you were not close to your father as you grew up.
Well, I was and I wasn't. He liked my writing and so forth, but he was very much into what he was doing.
You talked about doing seminars now in your professional work that look at the sources of our anxiety, perhaps, and I need you to rephrase it for me, but it's that our weakness is, in fact, our strength.
Well, you know,
like
when I started the Lucy Daniels Foundation, that's 23 years ago or something, I wanted to do something to have a regular event to try to help people understand our work there. And what it came to mind was to have a seminar for creative people, which I've called Our Problems as the Roots of Our Power. And I couldn't have imagined a better way to meet interesting people. I'm getting ready to have it again this year. And what it amounts to is when you're creating, you usually find things that don't work. And if you pay attention to them and you dream, you may learn from the dreams what is keeping the creative work from being effective. And so that's what I help them with.
That's great. So you've got this impulse. You want to make something. It's not happening. Let's find out why. And
yes.
That's what you did. And contrast that with the kind of treatment that you got, the psychiatric care that you got when you were being treated for
anorexia. Yes, I had, when I was hospitalized, I only had electric shock without anesthesia, insulin shock, tube feedings, no psychotherapy. And I never got psychotherapy until I was in my, about my 40s. And that was because after I got out of the hospital, I wanted to go to UNC. But since I'd been hospitalized so long, my parents and I had to go see doctors at UNC Hospital. And this one doctor, who I'll call a saint, Harley Shands, said to my parents, Lucy can only come to the University of North Carolina if she has psychoanalysis, because despite the radical treatment she's had, she has no understanding of why she is anorexic. My father refused. And so I only got psychoanalysis 20 years later, when I was in training to be a psychologist, because I wanted to be a good psychologist.
Meanwhile, you're writing Caleb, My Son, which is the very act, the very process that you're enacting, although without any guidance, you're doing it on your own. Did you realize at the time, I guess you probably didn't, that this was going to have the impact it did?
No, I wrote Caleb, My Son, in the mental hospital.
Yeah.
And I was with all these insane ladies 20 years older than me, because there were no medications then. And I knew it would never be read. I only wrote it for company. And in the process, I just let the story write itself, because I wasn't trying to please anybody.
Did it reveal to you any of the sources of your of what was happening to you at the time?
No, it didn't. I just wrote the story. And I'm grateful now, because now when I've been writing after the long block, and in the present when I'm writing, I know that the way to write is the way I wrote in the mental hospital. Not trying to please anybody, but letting the story write itself.
That's kind of the ideal way to write. But is it practical? I mean, for those writers who really, really, really want to get published and really want to get their message out, how do you tell yourself, well, I'm just doing it for me?
Well, I think you really want to get your message out, but I think it's a problem if you're writing to get published.
Wow.
You're pleasing somebody else.
I want to get back to this idea of the treatment and sort of the way we approach medicine and even psychiatric care. And even in psychoanalysis, it seems to me the goal is often to fix you, to make you better, to get this thing that's hobbling you, right, and is somehow in your way, gone. But you're make it go away. Your suggestion is, no, this is the power. What we want to do is transform it. We don't want to cure it or annihilate it.
What I tell people who come to my office is, the person who does the work here is you, not me. And the big thing is, to whatever problems we have, we're never going to get rid of them. What we can do is learn how to deal with them better, and maybe even use some of it to our advantage. But regardless, to know what we're trying to deal with rather than put it out of our mind.
But that is a leap, and it's not the conventional view in modern medicine or even psychiatry, in the sense that we can use this to help us. It really is about getting rid of it, by and large, right?
Unfortunately, I think that is. And I really think that's destructive, because the symptoms, whatever they are, contain the information we need to live effectively.
When you wrote Caleb, My Son, of course, it came out. It was a success. You weren't expecting it. Was that a problem for you? Now you've written this book, and it is a success. You weren't expecting to publish it. Now people are expecting you to write something good. Was that hard for you?
Well, you know, it was a shock to me that Caleb, My Son, was such a bestseller, and that I was on these television shows and all this. And I just did it. I just did it because I had to do it. What I've realized since— and there's a movie out about me now called In So Many Words. And I saw it, and it was really good. And for 2 weeks after that, I found myself feeling ruined. And that made me understand that being so shown off with Caleb, My Son, at a time when I was feeling so ruined out of the mental hospital, is still in my unconscious.
And that's the other side of that success doesn't necessarily make us happy.
Mm-mm.
And that our misery is the source of our power.
Yes.
This is contradictory, Lucy. You're dangerous, your thoughts, these ideas of yours.
Well, I guess, Frank, I guess so. But that may be dangerous, but it's also useful.
It is quite useful in ways that I think scare a lot of people. Let me ask you to read again. Would you read from some of your later work to give us a sense?
I'm going to read from the last story in the book, which is called Walking with Moonshine. And it was written this year and has to do with aging. Moonshine is the name of my dog, who's 15 years old, actually 105. But also, moonshine, as you know, has to do with distilled and whiskey and all that. And so here. Nevertheless, Moonshine is old. Cataracts make it hard for her to find her way to unfamiliar places or to trust strangers. Sometimes she seems confused. Besides that, knowing that dogs don't live long past 15 can make our walks more painful for me. How will I live without her? The vet's prescribing medications for Moonshine to take daily and discontinuing all vaccinations only adds to this sense of abandonment. A few months ago, when I bumped into the Moonshine's trainer, Nancy Hook, at the grocery store, I told her about Moonshine's coat and cataracts and medications, and she said, "You need to get a puppy for Moonshine to train." After listening, I walked away mad. The very idea of replacing Moonshine, and how miserable it would make her feel if I even brought another dog in for a visit. But when I mentioned sadness about Moonshine's aging to my daughter, Lucy, she said, "Nancy Hook is right." Which is how Maggie came to us, a black dachshund puppy I mistakenly thought was miniature. And Nancy was right in a way she hadn't mentioned and that I had not expected. Moonshine does not want to share toys with Maggie. She resists her kisses and will not lie down beside her. But fighting Maggie for bones and chews has given Moonshine energy I never expected to see in her again. Indeed, she regularly shows silent spunk and relentless opposition to that puppy, nearly twice her size, not intimidated by it. The puppy is intimidated by Moonshine. Sometimes, too, they wildly chase each other around the kitchen and out onto the patio and back, carrying toys and both barking loudly. And as we walk these days with Maggie, who's learned from Moonshine how to climb stairs and to seek out violets as poop spots in the lead, I am again the person left behind. Yes, time passing at my age always feels momentous. And aging is like living in a dream, which I've realized can sometimes be rejuvenating. As for me, right now, feeling able to reclaim my voice, maybe even write another novel, like in the hospital, because Bootleg Moonshine's example has jolted me into discovering what I can still do with the life I have left.
Lucy Daniels reading from the title story of her new book, Walking with Moonshine, My Life and Stories. So maybe that answers the question, what was it that allowed you, what was the change of mind you had about finishing that work that you realized might finish your life? Apparently, you're not afraid of that anymore.
At least I understood it from the unconscious level. So it can't control me because it's no longer unconscious. I'm going to combat it and go ahead and do what I want to do.
Lucy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for this, and please come back with your next one.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank.
Lucy Daniels' new book is Walking with Moonshine, My Life and Stories. She's a writer and clinical psychologist. Our show is produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Nguyen. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf is our news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.